Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll be presenting on behalf of Dr. Chen, a nosocomial measles outbreak that occurred in Arizona last year. So measles is a highly infectious viral disease, and it is spread by respiratory and airborne transmission. It is communicable during the prodromal period from 4 days before rash onset to 4 days after rash onset. The incubation period is from exposure to symptoms ranges from 7 days to 21 days, averaging around 14 days. The clinical features of measles are well recognized. They include a prodrome and a characteristic maculopapular rash. In the decade before measles vaccine was introduced in the United States in 1963, there were an estimated 3 to 4 million measles cases every year, with 48,000 reported hospitalizations and 450 reported deaths. Measles cases declined dramatically after implementation of a two-dose vaccine policy that was recommended in 1989. In 2000, elimination of endemic transmission of measles was declared in the US. Since then, an average of less than 100 cases have been reported each year, with the majority of the cases linked to importations and occurring among unvaccinated populations in the community settings. Due to the success of the measles vaccination program, many healthcare providers may now be unfamiliar with measles. Based on the guidelines from the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices in the United States, evidence of measles immunity includes documentation of physician-diagnosed measles, serologic evidence of immunity, that is IgG, receipt of measles-containing vaccine as recommended by age and risk group, and birth year before 1957. The US recommendation for measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine include 2 doses for all children, students in post-high school educational facilities, international travelers at least 12 months of age, and healthcare workers. 1 dose of MMR vaccine is recommended for infants 6 to 11 months of age, traveling abroad, and other adults not mentioned in the groups above. On Feb 19th, a confirmed measles case was reported in a Swiss national hospitalized in Tucson, Arizona. Through July 21st, an additional 13 confirmed cases were identified, many in healthcare settings. The objectives of this presentation are to describe the epidemiology of measles outbreak, to describe factors that may have contributed to nosocomial transmission, and to summarize recommendations to prevent future outbreaks in healthcare settings. A total of 14 confirmed measles cases were reported in Arizona. This epi-curve shows the distribution of confirmed cases by exposure location. 6 cases were exposed in Hospital A, shown here in blue. 1 was exposed in a pediatrician's office, shown here in white, and 6 others had other exposures, shown here in light gray. Overall, the cases ranged in age from 8 months to 50 years. Half the cases were adults, including 1 healthcare worker. All cases were unvaccinated prior to exposure, and 36% were hospitalized, including 2 who were admitted to the intensive care unit. 12 were laboratory confirmed by serology, and 7 were PCR positive, with D5 measles genotype isolated either in urine or nasopharyngeal swab. The D5 measles genotype had been circulating in Switzerland, where a large measles outbreak had been occurring. There were considerable delays in diagnosing and isolating measles cases, especially early in the outbreak. The index case was a 37-year-old female who arrived in Arizona from Switzerland on February 2nd. She had multiple emergency room visits during her measles illness and rash onset on the 13th. She was admitted to Hospital A on the same day with an acute viral illness. She was not isolated until the 15th, after hospital serology results came back positive for measles IgM. Case 2, shown the next bar in blue, acquired the disease from the index case in the ER on the 12th. Case 2 was a 50-year-old immunosuppressed female who also had multiple visits to the ER during her illness. On her first admission, she was seen for fever and a cough and was admitted for asthma. She exposed 1,795 patients during that visit. On February 28, she developed a rash and was immediately isolated in the ER and admitted for an allergic drug reaction and a possible community-acquired pneumonia. 4 cases, shown here in light purple, acquired the disease from case 2, shown here in blue, between Feb 24th and 26th, including a healthcare worker, one unvaccinated infant, and two unvaccinated children who had been visiting their mother in the hospital. This map shows the emergency room where the transmission occurred in Hospital A. Case 4, shown here in yellow, was an 11-month-old unvaccinated male who spent 45 minutes in a room across from the hall from case 2. This demonstrates that a very short exposure time was sufficient to cause transmission and result in disease. With the distribution of public health alerts and media coverage, awareness of measles outbreak improved in healthcare settings and in the community. After the third generation of cases, there was less than one transmission per case, and the outbreak ended with 14 cases identified with five generations of transmission. Factors that may have contributed to nosocomial transmission include not having measles immunity at the time of exposure. About 80% of the case patients accessed healthcare while infectious, but there were delays in isolation and diagnosis. 91% were not diagnosed promptly with measles after rash onset, and 82% presenting with rash and fever were not isolated promptly, and none were masked while waiting to see a healthcare provider. Measles is a highly infectious disease. Short exposure times may result in transmission, as demonstrated in this outbreak. Multiple ER visits and in-hospital admissions, especially among adult patients, provided a large number of opportunities for exposure. A tremendous number of contact investigations was required during this outbreak. A total of 6,572 investigations were contact investigations were conducted for the seven cases seen in Hospital A. The immune status of healthcare workers were not recorded electronically at Hospital A. To assess measles immunity, healthcare workers were asked to provide proof of measles immunity before being allowed back to work. 22% of the healthcare workers did not have documentation of measles immunity, and of these, 404 were tested by serology and vaccinated with one MMR on the same day. 26 had negative titers and were excluded from work 21 days from the date of exposure. This assessment and vaccination effort was time-consuming and resource-intensive. Not having documentation of measles immunity status of all healthcare workers readily available resulted in delayed vaccination of healthcare workers without evidence of immunity. These two additional factors may have contributed to nosocomial transmission during this outbreak. As mentioned earlier, one healthcare worker from Hospital A developed measles while providing care to a confirmed case. In summary, the measles outbreak with 14 cases in Arizona in 2008 was the largest nosocomial outbreak of measles in the US since 1987. Seven of the 14 cases were infected in healthcare settings, six of them in Hospital A alone. Over 6,000 hospital contacts were investigated, and the majority of hospital exposures were due to delays in implementation of airborne precautions, delays in diagnosis, and healthcare workers without documented measles immunity. This outbreak required rapid review of measles documentation of almost 2,000 healthcare workers and emergency vaccination of 400 at Hospital A. The following are recommendations for preventing measles outbreaks in healthcare settings. Implement existing policy recommendations by ACIP, Healthcare Infection Control Practices Advisory Committee, that is HICPAC, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. All healthcare workers should have evidence of measles immunity at the time of employment. Increase measles awareness among providers, by increasing suspicion for measles in patients presenting with fever and rash, especially in persons who travel or if measles is occurring in the community. Isolate suspect measles cases immediately to decrease exposure to other patients and institute screening and triage plan during the outbreak. Sani and I would like to thank and acknowledge the many people who assisted with this investigation. Thank you.
Thank you, Freddie. We have time for a few questions. I'll start with the first question. You had said one of the cases exposed almost 1,800 people. I can imagine how to do that at a national immunization conference, but I have a difficulty imagining how to do it in a hospital setting. Can you say how was the exposure defined, and how did they actually expose that many people?
From what I remember, and Patty, if you can answer, that would be great too. But this person had come to the hospital multiple times to the emergency room. It was the time when it was flu season, and so they had a lot of patients coming in just for, you know, cold and cough. And so each time she came to the hospital, she would expose a certain number of people, and she was sent home because the thought of measles actually never came up. She did first diagnosed her to have asthma, and then she came back for cold. And then finally, when they heard that she had been exposed, they admitted her, and she came back with rash onset.
Thank you.
Yes, Patty.
And I'm Patty Gass from the Arizona Department of Health Services. Also, there were some issues with the ventilation system as well. So it wasn't quite sectioned off the way you would expect it to be. So I think that also contributed to it
And she was never isolated during her visits until she developed a rash onset. And she was one of the patients who came up in the list of people who might have been exposed to the index case.
Thank you.
Chris Zimmerman from New York City. I mean, clearly, healthcare workers were an issue here. My sense is everybody's having an issue with, as we see less measles in children, the proportion of our cases in adults is more and more substantial. Do you have any insight in terms of, are we looking at a particular cohort, you know, age cohort, or does this seem to be folks who never got vaccinated for a wide variety of reasons? Some insight, you know, in terms of thinking about adults more broadly who are non-immune and how we might identify them and do some sort of outreach.
Right. The majority of the adults in this outbreak were 40 years and above, and yes, they did not have any vaccination or they had unknown vaccination history. Sometimes it is possible that, you know, we don't consider birth before we consider birth before 1957 to be immune, but this outbreak had individuals who were 40 years and above who developed measles. And during the Little League World Series, there was a 53-year-old woman also who had been exposed to the index case who developed the disease. So maybe they are a particular cohort that we might have to look into future to see if, you know, whether they are susceptible to measles or not.
Thank you.